All right, turn please to James chapter 3, all right? And we're going to stay in James 3 for the whole message, but if you're one of those die-hard Robert Morris fans and you have to turn to two passages of Scripture, you could also get Exodus 4. I don't mean a fan in a bad way, but I normally ask you to turn two passages. So we will read a verse from Exodus 4 later in the message, all right? So if you want to get two, and you just say, I have to have two passages, then James chapter 3 and Exodus 4. We're in a series called Words, Life or Death, that the words that we speak are releasing life or are releasing death in our lives. It comes from Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's where we started. This is the fourth message in the series. So if you haven't heard the other three, you can go on the website and listen to the other three. And today's message is called Amazing Facts. Amazing Facts. Obviously, amazing facts about words or about the tongue. James 3 is the longest discourse, 12 verses, on the tongue that I found in the Bible. So James 3, verses 1 and 2 is where we'll start. James 3, verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. It's because you're using your mouth more with other people. For we all stumble. Now watch this carefully. We all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, watch, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Now that is amazing. If any person doesn't stumble in his words, he's perfect. And he's able to bridle or control or direct his whole body. I want you to think about the lusts of the flesh that all of us have dealt with. Food, our sexual lust, or some sort of out of control with our body, even maybe in our sleeping or our lack of exercise. Here's what he's saying. Now listen, this is amazing to me. He's saying, if you could get your tongue fixed, you could get your body fixed. That's what the Bible just said. So I'm going to give you four amazing facts about the tongue from James chapter 3, and we're going to read more verses as we continue to go. So four amazing facts, right? Here's number one. The tongue is disproportionately powerful. Now, I know disproportionately is a big word. I understand that, but it's actually the most important word in this point. The tongue is disproportionately powerful. James chapter 3, now look at verses 3 through 5. We're just going to keep going until we get all 12 verses here. Verse 3 says, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. In other words, again, you fix the tongue, you fix your body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, think about the storms now, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Okay, now, in all of these points, the adverb is the most important word. In other words, the adverb here is disproportionately. The tongue is disproportionately powerful. Powerful is an adjective. An adverb modifies most time a verb, but it can modify an adjective. So that's what it's doing here, okay? And you'll recognize it because it ends in L-Y, all right? So the tongue is disproportionately powerful. Here's the point. I could just say the tongue is powerful. That's not the amazing fact. The amazing fact is it's disproportionately powerful. In other words, it's very small, but its effect is very large. That's what he's trying to tell us. And he uses three examples. The first example is a bit in a horse's mouth. I don't know how many of you have ever ridden horses. I grew up with horses. I actually broke a horse one time, a colt that we had, and I broke the colt myself. And so I understand a little bit about this, that it's a very small piece of metal, but it controls the strength and direction of, in most cases, and there are larger and smaller, but in most cases, about 1,000 to 1,200 pound animal. very strong animal. So a little piece of metal controls the strength and direction of a horse. Now I want you to think about that. Your tongue can control your strength and your direction. You know, many people are taking the Strengths Finders test. Okay, I'm glad you're doing that. But I'm going to say something very strongly here. You can discover all of your strengths, but if you can't control your tongue, it won't help you. Because you won't be able to direct your strengths in the right way. See, without the bit, you cannot control your a horse. In other words, it's like your tongue, your body will be like a wild horse without a bridle. That's what he's trying to say. You can stay in James 3, but let me read you a verse out of James 1. James 1, verse 26 says, and watch carefully, because these are amazing, surprising verses. If anyone among you thinks he is religious. Now, this Greek word for religious is a very good word, Greek word, actually. It means serving God. It doesn't mean like tradition or ritual or something like that. If anyone thinks he is serving God and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion or this one's service of God is useless. Now, I just have to say that again because somehow that doesn't hit us as strong as it should. He's saying if any of you are serving God, but you don't bridle your tongue, your service of God isn't worth anything. Now, we just read that in the Bible. And so he talks about a bridle. Then he uses three analogies, the bridle or bit of a horse. Then he uses the analogy of the rudder of a ship. Now think about ships, how large they are. You know, many of you have been on cruises. We've been on several cruises, Debbie and I, and we've taken our family on a cruise. A huge ship, but a small rudder in comparison to the ship. But the rudder turns the whole ship. And you talk to any captain, and he will tell you, in a storm, it talks about fierce winds, in a storm, you have to face that ship in the right direction during a storm, or it will capsize. Did you realize that many people's lives capsize because their tongue does not face them in the right direction during storms? So this is how important the tongue is. And it's not only important when you have a storm, even when you have good weather, when everything's going great in your life. Just think about if you went over to one of the lakes here. We have Lake Grapevine close to in South Lake here, Lake Ray Hubbard, Lake Dallas, Lake Louisville. Some of the lakes, Benbrook in this area, Eagle Mountain Lake. So let's say you go to a lake, you have a sailboat, you have your family, and you're going to sail over to this nice little sandy beach, have a picnic, you got your sandwiches, your food, everything, but your rudder breaks. And so here's what's going to happen. You're going to, the wind, if it's not blowing right toward that beach, it's going to take you past that beach, and it might even take you on the rocks. So even in good weather, if your tongue's not working, even in good times, you can end up on the rocks. Is this amazing? This message is better than your amening. I just wanted you to know right now. Okay. So he uses the analogy of a ship, and then he uses the analogy of a spark, a little spark, and a huge forest fire. That's what the tongue do. Our family, we like to vacation in Yellowstone National Park many times. And so we went there years ago, kids were real small, and it was 2 years after the huge fire they had, burned hundreds of thousands of acres. And we're driving along, and it's very beautiful, trees, grass, it's just gorgeous, animals that you only see on the Discovery Channel, you know, and we did this a long time ago, so don't, please, it wasn't that big of a deal then, but we were feeding the animals, and by the way, the best place to feed the animals is where the sign is that says, do not feed the animals. That's where they come out. So anyway, so we were just having a blast, and we went up over this hill, and all of a sudden, miles, as far as we could see, black stumps, black barren trees sticking up, no animals, no pretty grass, no flowers, because someone carelessly flicked a spark out of a car window and this huge forest fire. And that's the way we are with our words. And that's what James is saying. He's saying, you don't understand that even though that tongue is a little member of the body, it actually controls the whole body. So number one, it's disproportionately powerful. Number two, the tongue is inherently evil. The tongue is inherently evil. evil. Look at verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, evil. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. And the end of verse 8 says, it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, again, the adverb is what's important, because we could just say the tongue is evil. But that's really not the amazing factor. He's saying it's inherently evil. In other words, we were born with an evil tongue. We don't have to teach our children to be rude or to say mean things. We have to teach them to say nice things, because we are born with an evil tongue. It's inherited. It's inherently evil. Let me say it another way. The default setting on the tongue is to destroy. Unless we change the default setting, we're going to do more damage with our tongue than good. That's what he's telling us here. It is inherently evil. Now, let me just prove that to you. If you think, no, the tongue's not that evil, I want you to just think back to junior high. Now, some of you have already started crying. You know, just reaching for the tissues already. If you whatever difference you had about your appearance in junior high, braces, glasses, a little overweight, a little underweight, taller than most of the class, shorter than most of the class, whatever physical differences you had, they were going to be commented on. Is that correct? Because the tongue is inherently evil. I was skinny growing up. I know that's hard to believe now, but I was skinny growing up. I heard every skinny joke you can imagine. You know, you're so skinny, you'll have to run around in the shower to get wet. Some of you will get that later, but you're so skinny, if you turn sideways and stick your tongue out, you'll look like a zipper. Here was one. You're so skinny that you could cool off in the shade of a clothesline. Now, half of you did not get that joke, because you don't know what a clothesline is. And just for fun, I don't want to know how many of you know what a clothesline is. Not if you know what a clothesline is, but how many of you have ever used a clothesline? Can I see your hands? Okay. Look at all the old people. Okay. So listen, I thanked God. I became a Christian the day we got a dryer. I believed in God that day. And can I say something too? Let me just, for those of you, if you still use something, you know that at some point, let me just. There are some items of clothing that a little boy should not have to take off a clothesline. And I'm in therapy. I'm okay, so it's I remember talking about being skinny. I remember being in PE one time, and I hated PE. I hated PE because of the uniforms, because all the PE uniforms, physical education uniforms, came in one size, sumo size. And my legs looked like toothpicks, you know? And I have great legs, by the way. Every woman would love to have my legs. Oh, I didn't mean it that way. Okay, but anyway, so they're skinny. That's the point, okay? So, all right. But they were really skinny in school. I remember this guy came up in PE one time, and the girls were in the gym too for some reason, and so it was really embarrassing. He came up to me and he said, "Robert, there's a string hanging off your..." Oh, sorry, that's your leg. Okay, what am I trying to say? The tongue is evil. It's evil if you don't change the default setting. All right, here's number three. The tongue is humanly untamable. The tongue is humanly, think about the adverb here, untamable. Look at verses 7 and 8. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Now, I want you to notice this word mankind, because you're about to see another word that in the Greek is the same word, but they didn't write it that way for some reason, because it doesn't speak that way. but it is mankind. Okay, now watch this. Every has been tamed by mankind. Now watch verse 8. But no man, now listen, that could be mankind. No mankind can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Listen, no mankind, let me say it another way. No human, see, man is a part of the word human, that many times when the Bible talks about mankind, it's not talking about male or man. It'll say man, but it's not talking about man, a male. See, because I know many of you ladies could say when the Bible says no man can tame the tongue, you could say, yeah, that's right. Okay, but this is you too. No human, no woman, no mankind. This is not male. By the way, I don't know if you ever thought about this. There's male and there's female, okay? It's just a person, but there's a fee with this one, by the way. Okay, so let's go on. The point is, no human, no mankind, no person can tame the tongue. Okay, so that's not very good news, is it? The tongue is humanly untamable. That's the bad news. Let me tell you the good news. It is divinely tameable. The one who made it can tame it. The one who wrote the owner's manual can fix it. Now let me read you this scripture out of Exodus 4, verses 10 through 12. This is when Moses talked to God in the burning bush. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. I have a problem with my tongue." Now watch this. This really encouraged me. He said, "I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken your servant." Now here's what I like about that. He said, I had a problem with my tongue before I got saved and after I got saved. That's what he's saying. Before I met you and after I met you, I still have a problem with my tongue. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue, which means what he's saying is I can't think about what I need to say it in time. Many of us feel that way sometimes. So the Lord said to him, now watch how strong this is. Who made man's mouth? Who made your mouth? Who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, here's some good news, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. The Lord gave me that verse when I was a young minister. He said, I said, Lord, my mouth many times is just really bad. He said, I'll be with your mouth. I will teach you what to say. Now, we're going to take a whole message on this, and what I'm about to say is controversial in the body of Christ. But we're on firm doctrinal ground when we talk about this. Okay, so stay with me. I want you to just think about this for a moment. When the Holy Spirit, when the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, I want you to think about this. The first thing that the Holy Spirit did when he entered those people was change their tongues. The only way you can change your tongue is to submit your tongue to the Holy Spirit. And isn't it amazing that there's all sorts of controversy around this gift of the Holy Spirit? And who do you think did that? Because it said the tongue is set on fire by hell itself. Can I tell you something? Hell wants to occupy your mouth. Let me tell you something else that a lot of believers don't know, and this shocks me. Satan can't hurt you. Did you know that? Do you really know that? Satan can't hurt you. And I prove it to you by common sense, but I can show you scripture. But Satan can't hurt you. You want to know why? Because if he could, he would have already killed you. Let me tell you what he does do, though. He's trying to get you to turn your mouth against yourself and kill yourself. He's trying to get you, every time you speak, you are either agreeing with life and God or death and Satan. Every time you speak, life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's his whole strategy, is to get you to speak death. That's what he's trying to do. So the tongue is humanly untamable. Here's number four. The tongue is contrastingly productive. The tongue is contrastingly productive. Again, the adverb's important. We'll come back to that. Look at verses 9 through 12 now. With it, the tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made, and by the way, this is mankind again, who have been made in the similitude or the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, you can hear his burden. These things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. You know what he's saying here? See, you remember the adverb. That's the one. I could have said the tongue's powerful. But that's not really the amazing fact in James 3. It is a disproportionately powerful. In other words, it's very small, but it can do a lot of damage. Okay? I could have said the tongue is evil. That's really not what he's saying. He's saying the tongue is inherently evil. We start out with a bad tongue. We're born with an evil tongue, but we can be born again. And we can submit our tongue to the Holy Spirit every day. And then I could have said, the tongue is untamable. But that's really not what he's saying. It's humanly untamable, but it's divinely tameable. In the same way, I could have said, the tongue is productive. It can produce life or death. But the point is, it is contrastingly productive because it can produce good and bad. And here's what he says. He says, do you know that nature can't even do what the tongue can do? It's really clear. A fig tree can't bear olives. And a grapevine can't bear figs. Apples don't bear oranges. Oranges don't bear apples. And you can't have bad water and good water coming out of the same opening because it's bad then. It's all bad. And here's what he's saying. But the tongue can bless and curse. It's contrastingly productive. And he says, please don't do that. And he said, with our tongues, we bless God and we curse people who've been made in his likeness. Here's what we do. God, I bless you. I just bless you, Lord. I hate her. She's just the biggest gossip in the church. I've told everybody that. And he says, this shouldn't be. This shouldn't be. Let me read you. Don't turn to anything. I want to read you these verses out of the Message. I love the Message Bible just to read. If you don't have the Message just for fun reading, it's good. Let me read you these verses out of the Message. This is James 3, verses 1 through 12 out of the Message. So just watch the scriptures on the screen. Don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held to the strictest standards, and none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world. Turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it, smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God our Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Okay, let me give you the good news. I know this series has been a lot of bad news. I know that. Last week, we had the 10 deadly sins. This guy said to me afterwards, hey, I got 9 of them. And then he said to me, should I work on those or should I go for the other 10 and have a perfect score? So I said, no, you need to work on the 9. But here's the good news. It's contrastingly productive. In other words, the tongue can cause a lot of damage, but the tongue can also do a lot of good. The tongue can curse, but the tongue can bless. You can bless your marriage. You can bless your finances. You can bless your job. You can bless your children. And in the same way that the tongue can destroy, the tongue can produce good fruit. This is good news. And when I thought about this, immediately, I thought about the greatest example of this that I know. And that's my wife, Debbie. Because you have to remember that I wasn't saved when we got married. And then even after I got saved, I still lived in immorality for the first few years of our marriage. Her unconditional love, her prayers, her encouragement to me. She would say, "You're a great father. You're a great husband. You're a great man of God. You're going to do great things for God one day. You probably don't realize this, but you eat fruit from a tree that my wife planted. She led me to Christ." And she watered that tree, and she nursed that tree, and that tree now produces good fruit. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit, "What are you saying to me? What are you saying to me through this message?" Now, I really want you to do this, all right? I know we do this every week, but don't let this become a ritual. Take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit, "What are you saying to me?" You might hear several things right now, but you might not hear anything until tonight when you go to bed, or tomorrow, or the next day. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And we want to pray for you. You don't have to be a member of Gateway Church to come for prayer. If you need any prayer about any issue of your life, we want to pray for you. Maybe it's about finances, or job, or health, or relationships, or maybe your relationship with God. We want to pray for you. So if you need prayer in just a moment, here's what we do. We have one more worship song. We ask that no one leave during this time unless you have an emergency or an appointment you have to get to. And we understand that. We understand. So don't feel bad, all right? But if you can, it's just one more worship song. During that time, in just a moment, we'll all stand at all the campuses, and we're going to have leaders at the front. If you're on the ministry team, you come as quickly as you can so you'll be ready to minister, right? But we're going to have leaders at the front. Don't be embarrassed. We do it every week. And please hear this. Everybody needs prayer. Everybody needs prayer. So if you need prayer and you come down the front, don't feel bad about that. That's normal in church to have someone pray with you. So if you need prayer for any area of your life, no matter which campus you're attending, in just a moment we'll stand up. And when we stand up, it's easier to get out of the seat then because we're all standing. You just slip out to the aisle and come to one of the leaders at the front of whichever campus you're attending, and let us pray for you, all right? Holy Spirit, I pray you'll draw every person that has any prayer need at every campus. In Jesus' name, amen.